Amen. Just remain standing if you will and turn in your Bible to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. I appreciate the testimonies that we heard already. And there we go. The testimonies that we heard already and the good spirit that swept through this place. Amen. Thank God for liberty. Amen. A place where you can come and you don't have to worry about what people might think about you bragging on the Lord. Amen. And by the way, He deserves it. You might brag on yourself bigger than it really is. Or you might brag on somebody else bigger than it really is. But you'll never brag on Him too much. And you'll never make Him bigger than He really is. Amen. Because He's bigger than we can make Him out to be. Amen. Amen. Well, this is a familiar text. And be honest with you, it's more what I would consider a Sunday morning sermon than a Sunday night sermon. Actually, what I preached this morning, I felt like would probably have been better for Sunday night, but this is the order I feel like God gave me to do it. And by the way, Sister Hall, I apologize for not having you informed and having you ready to sing. I came to church intending on having you sing, and then as I was walking around shaking hands, I felt like the Lord nudged me that Sister Sharon might sing for us. And so I thought, well, that'll be it. But anyway, then I went ahead and had them both sing. But thank the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord for both the songs. And as I said, the Spirit of God that came through. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 15. I'll read the first two verses and then we'll pray. I'll allow you to be seated and we'll do some more reading after that as we go in through the Scriptures. Verse number 1. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for the privilege to be in the house of God on this Sunday night. I thank You, Lord, for the presence of the Lord. And Lord, for the nudging as we've seen You squeeze hearts and bless souls. And encourage us and remind us and stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance on these things as we've bragged on You. Lord, I know that there are needs among us. There are hidden needs that others know not about. There are needs that we're aware of. Lord, I pray You'd meet those needs. Father, I pray You'd give grace and strength and help. And Lord, I pray that You'd show up in great power and glory. And Lord, just a few moments in Your presence would fix more than hours of sermons and counseling and talking about our problems. Lord, I pray You'd just show up in great power and glory and do the work and get the glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. As I look at these Scriptures and think on these verses just a moment, I notice there's two groups of people mentioned in these two verses that we see here. And that's going to really be the emphasis of my message tonight. But I notice the first group is called publicans and sinners. That's not two groups, that's one group. That's two ways of saying the same group. Publicans and sinners, that's who they were. And they came to hear Him, verse number 2. The second group is the Pharisees and the scribes. Again, two terms describing the same group of people. And so two types of people, publicans, Pharisees, sinners, scribes. You've got these two groups of people that came. But here's what I noticed. Verse number 1, the publicans and sinners came to hear Him. Verse number 2, the scribes and Pharisees wanted to be heard. They're murmuring. They're talking. Amen. They've got their two cents worth, if I could say that. And they say this about the Lord Jesus. They say, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I've heard it said that you can tell a lot about a man by what his enemies say about him. Amen. These scribes and Pharisees were the enemies of our Lord in that day. They were spewing forth what they intended to be a reproach. What they intended to be a great insult on our Lord Jesus Christ. But in fact, rather than being a reproach and an insult that it was intended, it's a great truth. And it's a great treasure to us that in truth Christ does receive sinners. Amen. This man receiveth sinners. And I'm so glad that that's true. Amen. As a matter of fact, the purpose of our Lord's coming was twofold. He had a purpose towards God and a purpose towards man. I believe His purpose towards God was to please the Father. His purpose towards God was to satisfy the law. His purpose to God was to lay down His life as an atonement for the sins of men. Amen. That He might be that would save men from their sin. But let me back up and say this. He also, Godward, and this just, I just thought about it, His job, Godward, was to manifest the Father unto us. He was to reveal the Father. God's invisible. He's a spirit. We never see Him unless He came in flesh and blood. And He did come in flesh and blood in the Lord Jesus. So Jesus had the goal or the purpose towards God to reveal God to you and I. Amen. Reveal the Father. But His purpose, manward, was that He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. According to Luke 19 in verse number 10, Jesus Christ knew that He was destined to carry an old rugged cross up Calvary's hill and lay down His life there as a ransom for man's sin. He knew that. Amen. And though He knew that, He never flinched from that destiny. He never flinched from that duty. Amen. Rather, He embraced it. And He endured the cross, despising the shame. Amen. And I'm glad that He did. Matter of fact, Christ prophesied in the book of John 12:32. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto Me." Amen. He came to eat with sinners. He came to receive sinners. He came to die for sinners. Amen. He also prophesied in John 6:32, "All that the Father giveth Me will come, or shall come unto Me, and him that cometh unto Me I will in no wise cast out." Thank God. Amen. So the words of these Pharisees did not repulse our Lord, but rather they correctly represented our Lord. Amen. They correctly represented His ministry, that He receives sinners, and thank God that He does. Amen. Now, I mentioned there's two types of people here. Publicans and sinners. Pharisees and scribes. Two types. And so our Lord tells a story of two sons. He gives this one parable about the 100 sheep and one gets lost. 10 coins and one gets lost. You've got the lost sheep, the lost silver, and then the lost sons. And this case of the sons is what I want to look at tonight in verse number 11. And I want to preach on this thought, a tale of two sinners. A tale of two sinners. You see, our Lord began to show this parable that illustrates these two types of people. He came to a story of a man that had two sons, one religious and the other rebellious. Amen. Both sinners, I believe. This is to show the publicans who recognized they were rebellious, and to show the Pharisees who knew they were religious, but to let them both know that they're sinners. Amen. They're both sinners, though one is religious and the other rebellious. Look at chapter 15 and verse number 11. The Bible said, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." Now I'm going to preach about these two sons and give you three thoughts. Number one, I want to talk about the openly rebellious sinner. First of all, he starts with this one. Verse 12, "And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Now I'm going to take these verses and describe to you this openly rebellious sinner. I believe I can show you from these scriptures and can reveal to you his sin. I'll say this right off the bat. Sin cannot be contained or restrained very long. Sin in the heart cannot be contained or restrained for long. It will sooner or later, and most of the time more sooner than later, reveal itself to be there in the heart. Sin reveals itself either in an action or in a reaction. Amen. And sometimes it's both in that case. But sin will show itself forth either in action or reaction. Sin will be exposed. Sin will often reveal itself either in words or in deeds, as an attitude or as an action. And we can see this revealed in this young man's life. Three things I want you to notice about this openly rebellious sinner. I want you to notice his attitude reveals his sin. In verse number 12, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living." In the case of this younger son, the rebellious sinner, we see sin unveil itself in his words towards his father. I'm telling you, my heart breaks when I think about this rebellious son, the love his father had, the honor of his father now being dishonored, the life of his father now being dishonored, as this son walks up to him and says, "I want what's coming to me. I want it now." Right. Amen. And his attitude of rebellion, his attitude proves that he is a rebellious sinner. He was not supposed to get his inheritance until the death of his father. Isn't that right? I mean, that's the way we expect it. An inheritance is not given out or doled out until the father is passed away. But this younger son has become selfish. He wants instant gratification. Amen. Amen. He wanted what he considered his part. And he wanted it now. He couldn't wait for his father to die for him to get it. Amen. Four things about sin and the attitude revealed here that revealed his sin. Sin makes you selfish. Amen. Sin will cause you to be selfish and not consider the hurt of others. Not consider how you hurt others. Can you imagine anything more rude than this young man, a son, boldly and blatantly saying to his father, "Dad, I can't wait for you to die. I want what's coming to me. I want my inheritance now." Amen. Sin makes you selfish. Sin will make you cruel. Amen. Amen. Brother Brian McBride said that on Monday night's Preacher's Hour last week, talking about Joseph's brethren and about how that those brethren were cruel to Joseph, and those brethren were cruel to their own daddy, Jacob, and how it sin caused them to be cruel. And I'm telling you, selfishness will cause you to be cruel. You don't care about anybody else's feelings but your own when you're in that selfish mode. And it's sin, by the way. Amen. Amen. Sin will make you selfish. Number two, sin will cause you to say, "Give me." Amen. He became inconsiderate of the long hours his father had labored and the years that his father had scrimped and saved and done without for himself that he might have something to leave his sons at his death. Suddenly, his father's goods looked less like valuables that his father had gathered and more like a means for him having his freedom that he desired, having his fun that he wanted, and having his happiness that he thought the money would buy. Are you listening? I'm telling you, sin will cause a son or a daughter to get to the point that they will dishonor their own mother or father in their cruelty, in their selfishness, in their, "I want it, I want it, I want it now." Listen, I'll tell you, young people, listen. Clothes don't grow on trees. Your daddy has to work and sweat and labor to put clothes on your back. Amen. You ought not take it for granted. Listen, he's working to provide a roof over your head. He's working to provide food on your table. He's working to provide clothes on your back. And at least you can do say thank you. Amen. Amen. Listen, Bell, children, even shake your daddy's hand every now and then. Amen. Pick on them because they didn't shake his hand in the prayer room this morning. I told him, I said, "You wait to Father's Day, I'll get them. But I can't wait to Father's Day. I got them tonight." Amen. But seriously, I get back on a serious note. daddies are laboring and working, and a lot of children think that all he's doing is laying up for me. It's mine. It's owed to me. I ought to be able to have the nicest clothes. I ought to be able to wear the fanciest shoes. I ought to be able to get all the expensive things. Listen, you ought to thank God for what you do have. Your daddy's worked and labored that you can have what you've got. Amen. Amen. Sin will cause you to be selfish. Sin will cause you to say, give me. Number three, sin will make you imagine you deserve the pleasures you want. This young man came to the place, I think, he thought he deserved it. No matter how much it costs, no matter how much it hurts, no matter who it hurts, you get to thinking you deserve it. You begin to feel that you should be trusted even when you're not trustworthy. Amen. Don't you trust me? Have you ever heard that? Amen. Not trustworthy. You're not supposed to be trusted. Amen. Sometimes sin will cause you to think you deserve rewards when you've done nothing to deserve a reward. Amen. This young man, I don't know what he'd done. I don't know all the story, and I'm not trying to read into it. But I see sin that's made a young man rude and cruel. Then he'll walk up to his dad and say, Dad, I can't wait for you to die. I don't just want what's coming to me 20 years from now. I want it now because I want to have my fun now. I deserve to sow my wild oats now. I deserve to have my way now while I've got health, while I've got youth. I want to use that and enjoy my pleasures now. That is sin causing him to talk like that. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. And then the last thing about this attitude of sin. Sin will cause you to start to demand things. Right. That phrase, give me, is not a request.
Right.
It's a demand. Rather than ask his father for his inheritance, this young man became rebellious and demanded it. Amen. I demand to have my way. Amen. That sin, because his attitude revealed his sin in verse number 12. Verse number 13, his attractions revealed his sin. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with righteous living. Verse 12, I skipped over the part. After he demanded that, his father gave it to him. He divided it between both of his sons. Gave them what they asked for. This young man, not many days after that, takes what his father gave him and moves off to the far country. Now, I believe that it is apparent that the far country had already begun to appeal to the palate and to the taste buds of this young man. I don't know where he learned about the far country. I don't know where he heard about it. I don't know what he knew about it. But somehow, before his hide ever landed in the far country, his heart was already longing for the far country. Somehow, before he ever landed down there, he longed to be there, and he loved to hear about the things there, and he just kept on longing and lusting until he finally made his way down there. And I'll say this. His attitude of rebellion shows there was sin. But the fact that he wanted what was down there rather than what was at the father's house, rather than what was in God's country, what he wanted down there in the hog pens and in the slop houses of the world proves that he had the wrong desires and attractions in his heart. Amen. Amen. If you're attracted to something, you may resist it. As long as you don't have the opportunity to attain it. But when the opportunity arises, you'll prove what you want. Amen. Amen. You'll prove what you wanted all along when the opportunity arises. In the case of this young man, this rebellious sinner, we see that he soon, the Bible said that not many days after, he gathered all together. I said he amassed his fortune. He went out on his journey, took his journey. He abandoned his family. It said that he went to the far country. He accelerated to the far country. There he wasted his substance and righteous living. I said he abused his financial standing. He amassed everything he had together. I imagine he's counting it up and he's figuring how much fun he can have, how long he can enjoy it, how good it's going to be. He's excited about what's going on, and then he turns his back on his family. He don't have time for dad any longer. He don't have time for the things of God anymore. He's headed to the far country, and he quickly goes to the far country, quickly gets down there, accelerates to get there, and there he abuses his financial standing. Some say, easy come, easy go. His finances were the results of his father's labor and his father's care. But his foolishness resulted in careless spending and frivolous waste. Amen. Amen. I'll say this, and this will lead into my next point. Sin is a waster. Sin is a great waster. Amen. Look at verse 13, the last phrase. And there wasted his substance with righteous living. Not only did his attitude reveal sin, not only did his attractions reveal sin, but his actions revealed sin. He wasted his substance with righteous living. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. You see, the Bible said this young man wasted his substance. He wasted his youth. He wasted his health. He wasted his fortune. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people today that are wasting their youth, wasting the time God's given them, the strength of their body, the ability to do something for God. They're wasting that in riotous living. They're wasting their health while they've got good days, while they've got strength of body, while they've got clarity of mind. They're wasting those things on riotous living. There's people that are wasting their money. They're wasting the goods that God has given them, the blessings that God has bestowed upon them. They're wasting that on selfishness and on righteous living, just frivolous spending. Amen. Sin may look attractive for the present time, but its attraction and its appeal are only for a season. Amen. There is pleasure of sin. By the way, the pleasure of sin is for real. But it's for real short. Amen. It's real short. So many people are wasting their substance, living for the flesh and the pleasures of the world. But this world will soon pass away. Amen. And all the pleasures will be gone as well. Sin looks fun, but it's foolish. It promises pleasure, but only gives pain. It advertises glamour, glitter, excitement and satisfaction. And it may offer all of that for a limited time span. But it's very limited. Amen. In the end, sin can never satisfy the soul of any man, woman, boy, or girl. Amen. You can get your belly full of it and you'll not be satisfied with it. You'll puke it up once you've got your belly full. Amen. Amen. You can live life to the hilt. Go for the gusto, as the world says. You can do your best to get every bit of it you can. Matter of fact, Solomon said it in Ecclesiastes that he set out to try everything and do everything he could find that would bring him pleasure. And he said it's all vanity. It's all vain. He got to the point he despaired of living. He said it, life ain't even worth living. By the way, it is not without Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't have life. You can't live without Jesus. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you've got Jesus, He can satisfy you. Matter of fact, I can prove it. There's a woman at the well that had had five husbands and was shagging with a man that wasn't her husband. But when she met that seventh man, she left her bucket at the well and went and told everybody how good it was to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. I'm telling you, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. This world will never satisfy. Amen. Don't listen to the advertisements of the world. Amen. Don't look at the glitter and the glamour that the world's trying to show you. It's all fake and phony. Amen. Amen. It's all fake and phony. Well, this young man ran out of money. But this is what I noticed about his actions. When he ran out of money, he didn't go back home. He went deeper down in degradation. He went and hired himself out to a citizen of that same degraded country. And it was not a man that he'd grown up knowing men like this. This was a hog farmer. He went to feed swine, which is a stench in the nostrils of a Jew. Amen. Now, I've been on hog farms, and they stink to everybody, but they especially stink to a Jew. Amen. This young man went deeper down. Here's what I noticed, and I thought about this. Here's what sin will do. There's people get out in sin, and they dabble in sin, and they find out they're in trouble, and they're knee-deep in trouble. You know what they'll do? Keep digging. Yeah. Keep on digging. Just keep on going down.
That people do that with their finances. You know, I mean, seriously, they say, well, here's what I've got all this mess, and so I'm going to go get me another loan so I can consolidate all these loans and I can get out of debt. Do you get out of debt borrowing money? No, you're digging deeper. Amen. Well, this world's full of sin and people go down into sin. And when they get down there, they run out of money, but they also run out of the blessings of God. They get out of gear with God. They get out from under the umbrella of the protection of God, and they get knee deep in trouble. And if they're not careful, if their heart's not right, they'll just keep digging until they get waist deep in trouble and they recognize they're waist deep in trouble. What they do? They just dig a little more and dig a little more until they find themselves up neck deep in trouble. What are they going to do then? And then these people today that are about to go under, they're neck deep in trouble, but they will not quit digging. It's a problem with the heart. This young man was a rebellious sinner, and he proved it in his lifestyle. Can I tell you this? Rebellion will only get you deeper in trouble. Only repentance will get you out. Amen. So there's one openly rebellious sinner. The second son is an obstinately religious sinner. Look at verse 25, and I'll jump down to verse 25. Now, his elder son was in the field. And I recognize I've skipped a portion because you know the story well. We'll come back and look at it. But verse 25, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. This elder son, who represents the Pharisees, I believe the younger son represents the publicans and sinners. The elder son represents the Pharisees and scribes who claimed to love the law but hated the Lord. How can you love His Word and hate the one that gave the Word? Amen. They claimed to love the law, but they rejected the Lord. And this elder son, was like them. He had successfully kept a cloak of religion over his sin for some time. I said to you that younger son, before he ever left the father's house, he had sin in his heart and he had a longing and an attraction for the world. I believe this older son had the same problem, but he had a cloak of religion that he kept his hid for some time. Amen. It had successfully kept it constrained, contained, and restrained within him. But can I tell you, sin cannot be constrained or contained long. Amen. It might be kept for some time, but it cannot be contained forever. It will break out. Amen. Like I talked about the other night about leprosy, it will break out. It never gets better left alone. Amen. There's only two ways to deal with leprosy. Cut it out or get a cure. Amen. Best ways to get it cured. Amen. Get a miracle to come by and cure it. This elder son had sin and he thought he had it covered, but it came out. Again, I said most times sooner rather than later, but if it don't come out sooner, it will come out later. Amen. And it exposed itself either in an action or a reaction. His brother showed his sin by his actions. I believe this elder brother showed his sin by his reactions. Let me show you this in the scripture right here. Just like his younger brother, his attitude revealed sin. Look at verse 28 and 29. And he was angry. Wait just a minute. What's he angry about? He's angry that a church service broke out at the house. He's angry that his younger brother, who's been out in sin, who broke his daddy's heart, who his daddy wept over every day, probably prayed for every day, every time they had a meal and he'd bow his head. I imagine a dad called that younger son's name out, and like somebody said, he kept a place set at the table, praise God, hoping that the boy'd come home, believing that the boy'd come home. But daddy called his name, and that elder son said, I hope he don't ever come back. And when he did come back, he got angry. Shows me there's sin in his heart. There's sin in his heart. He got angry toward his brother. I don't notice that again. Let me go back and read it. Verse 28. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friend. Now, in the case of this elder son, the religious sinner, we see that his sin revealed itself in his attitude towards his brother. Now, there's a truth there that I wish I had a lot of time to expound on. Sinners, I'm talking about blatant sinners, have a problem with the Father. They got a problem with God. Amen. They can say that the reason they don't go to church is because there's hypocrites at church. No, the reason they don't go to church is because they don't like God. Amen. That they can name a million reasons why they don't do things, but the truth is, the problem they've got between them and the Father, and their attitude's wrong towards the Father. Amen. But a religious person's got an attitude problem with his brother. Because here's what our Lord said, By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love not to the Father, but to one another. Amen. The world's going to see whether or not we love one another. And they'll know, they'll mark her down, that person's either right or they're not right because of their attitude towards one another. Amen. Amen. I could mention several things about that, and I'll touch on some in a moment. But this elder brother was not happy that he had received news that his younger brother had returned home. His attitude showed forth in his attitude towards his brother. And his words to his father. He was jealous and envious towards his brother, and he exhibited an unforgiving attitude. Amen. I said a moment ago, sin makes you selfish. Well, this older brother is proving that he's got sin in him because he's selfish. Amen. The younger brother wanted his money because he wanted to have his amusement. He wanted to have his attractions. This elder brother stayed at home because he wanted the attention. Right. Are you listening? Right. There's a lot of people in church not because that they wouldn't rather be out running around, but it's because they want to be the good son or the good daughter or the good person, the person that can say, well, I'm doing this and I'm not doing what others are doing. Amen. They want the attention. Listen, if we're right with God, it's not us that gets the attention. It's like sister said earlier, it's Him. If I'm living for God, it's because God's living in me. It's not because I'm a good person. It's because God found me and washed me and put me in His family. Amen. Amen. If you see any good in me, it's all because of Him. That's what the song said. And it's right. Amen. Amen. Paul said, I live. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live of the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. Amen. Sin makes you selfish. Now, listen, it'll make you hurt people. I talk about making you cruel. Can you imagine, I go back to that younger son, how rude that he boldly and blatantly said to Dad, Dad, I can't wait for you to die. I want it now. That is heartbreaking. But here's the older son. Can you imagine the heartbreak of a father recognizing there's such a great gulf fixed between these two men that he loves? That there's such a great gulf fixed separating two sons that came from his loins, two of his own blood, flesh and bone, two of his own family, and yet they can't stay in the same house. They can't see the things together. And when one gets right with God, the other says, then I'm getting out. It broke Dad's heart. Can you see how rude this son was being to boldly and blatantly tell his father, if you're going to be merciful, if you're going to be joyous over his repentance, if you're going to offer him forgiveness, I want none of it. That's what he's saying. I won't come in the house. I won't sing the songs. I won't partake of the meal. I won't have fellowship with him or with you. Are you listening? That's cruel. Count me out. That's what he's saying. I want no part of it. I want none of it. Sin will make you cruel no matter who you hurt and how much it costs. It'll make you cruel to those that need you. By the way, those that need you most. Amen. Sin not only makes you selfish. I said sin will cause you to say, give me. I saw it in this text. I never saw it before. But I saw it in this text, verse number 28. No, verse 29. And he answered and said to him, Father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgressed I thy commandment. I'm sorry, transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Now, whoa, just a minute. Do you believe that? Father, there's never been a day that I didn't do exactly what you wanted me to do. Father, there's never been one hour that I didn't do exactly what you wanted me to do. Father, there's never been one moment, there's never been a time, not at any time, did I ever transgress thy commandment. That's not true. That is not true. There's no way that this elder son had obeyed his dad every moment of every day of his life. Amen. But he's all of a sudden thinking that he's done better than he's doing. But then he goes on. Here's what I saw. He said, and yet thou never gavest me. You didn't give me. You gave to him, but you didn't give to me. And all of a sudden he's angry, and it's sin in him, just like it's sin in the younger brother that said, give me. It's sin in the older brother that said, you didn't give to me, so you wasn't good to me. Amen. Amen. Suddenly upon seeing the generosity and the joy with which his father had welcomed home his long lost son, this elder son mouths forth the words of greed that he had kept bottled up so long. He mouths forth the words of greed that he'd kept a cloak on so long. And he said, you never gave me anything. Listen, the truth was, his dad had given him everything. He said, all that I have is thine. He had given him everything. Listen, if you ball your fist up at God or you shake your hand at God and you say, God, you're being unfair to me. You've never given me anything. You are lying through your teeth. God has given us everything. Amen. He gives us the breath in our lungs. He gives us the blood that courses through our body. Praise God. He gives us sight. He gives us ability. Amen. He gives us everything. Even to his own son. He spared not his own son. Praise God. But delivered him up for us all. Amen. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Woo! Amen. That's right. It wasn't in my notes, but that's still right. He said, you ain't never give me anything. Sin causes greed. Amen. Sin, I said earlier, will make you deserve or think you deserve to have your pleasure, no matter how much it costs or who it hurts. All of a sudden, this son that has stayed close to the father reveals that he didn't stay close to the father out of love to the father. Right. He stayed close to the father out of a sense of duty. Somebody's got to be the good son. And I've seen that happen. I've seen families. In pastoring in North Carolina, I've seen families. I'm thinking of a situation right now that a man had three children. One of those children was just rebellious. You know, they talk about the wild child. By the way, one child don't have to be the wild child. You don't have to have any wild children. Say amen right there. Amen. But this young lady decided she's going to be the wild child, and she was. The other two were the good children, and one of them run off and got all messed up, and the elder one decided, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be the good one, and they were until the wild child got in church. And the wild child started doing things right. All of a sudden, this elder one wasn't getting all the praise she used to get. Amen. All of a sudden, this one that's come back is now being recognized a little bit. And this elder one's not the good one now. And so you know what she does? She goes out and does what she'd wanted to do all along. Amen. I believe that's the story I see right here in this elder son. He had stayed at home, not because he loved the father, but because he wanted the attention that was being shown there in the house. Amen. Amen. He was there because of his duty. And by the way, our beautiful deeds, the things we do out of duty, never add up to cause him to owe us anything. Amen. Amen. Brother Steve mentioned again this morning in Sunday school, and I read it sometime back in James Knox's book in Luke. He's going through, it's a synopsis of the Gospels, and I forget what... New Testament survey, and he's dealing with Luke, and he mentions his favorite verse over there in Luke. I forgot now, 17, I believe it is, where he said that when we've done all, that we'll say, I'm an unprofitable servant. Amen. And James Knox said, when I have given everything I can give, when I've gone as far as I can go, when I've done all I can do, on that judgment day, on that rewarding day, he will not owe me so much as a thank you. Amen. Because he deserves my duty. Amen. He deserves my praise, my life, my all. He deserves it. Amen. But if we're not careful, we'll start thinking, well now, because I do these things, I deserve some added blessings. I am owed. And I'm going to tell you, sin causes you to imagine that you deserve things. He thought that he was owed or deserved to be able to have his fun and his pleasures. He said, yet never gavest thou me a kid. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Well, I said sin will cause you to demand things. This son had become prideful in his restraint of those fleshly lusts that had taken his brother into the far country. He had restrained those. But he thought that his restraint should have garnered him more attention and more admiration than he felt he was getting. Amen. Amen. By the way, it is true that keeping yourself from fleshly lusts is beneficial to you. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. Amen. Just abstaining from all appearance of evil will keep you out of a lot of trouble. Amen. But can I tell you, God does not love us because of what we don't do or what we do. God loves us because we're His Son. Amen. And He'll never love us more. Amen. Listen, you can never get to the point that you can be God's favorite. If you try to get there, you'll be as bad as the disciples when they're arguing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Amen. If we're not careful, we think, well, I'm better than somebody because I live. Listen, we ought to live as clean as we can just because He's as good as He is. Amen. No matter what anybody else does. It really don't. It really does not matter what anybody else does. We ought to live as good as we can because He's as good as He is. Amen. His attitude revealed sin. Number two, His attractions revealed sin. Look at verse 30 of chapter 15. Verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. I think I touched on this back in October when I preached out of this text, that it looks to me like that this elder son had the far country had some amount of appeal to him. Amen. Somehow he was keeping tabs on his younger brother. He knew things that his brother had done that's not revealed in the pages of the Scripture. He said he's been with harlots. You read that story over and over and over, and you can't prove that he had. The Bible said he wasted his substance with righteous living. We generally think wine, women, song. That's what we think, right? That's generally what we think. That he wasted his money like people waste their money today. That's what this elder brother thought, but I can't prove, and neither can you, and neither could he, that his brother had been with women. Amen. Now here's what I thought about that. This elder brother had been keeping tabs on his younger brother, and I am convinced that some people live their lust out in other people's lives. Amen. They enjoy watching their wickedness on TV while they feign that they're amazed or shocked at what they're doing, but they're really tickled to death that it's going on. Amen. It might not be TV, it might be Facebook. Amen. They see what's going on out there and they begin to drool over the things that they're doing. All the time they're wiping their face, getting the drool off their face, they're trying to hide the mocking grin on their face because they're really enjoying that so-and-so is enjoying their self. They're watching their sin. And by the way, I'll throw this in, and this won't cost you any extra. This will be free tonight. Just some advice. It is foolish to brag about what you're doing and post pictures of what you're doing on emails and texts and Facebook and then complain and call it gossip because somebody knows.
Yeah.
That is foolish.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's free. I don't know if this elder brother was correct about him spending, wasting his money with women, with harlots. I don't know that. But the Bible doesn't actually comment on that. It could have all been an assumption by a jealous older brother. Amen. I have found, and here's why I believe it, because I have seen human nature. I have found that Pharisees often tend to think that they can read your mind and know why you're doing what you're doing when they cannot read your mind and they cannot know for sure what your intentions are. Amen. By the way, we ought to be careful about that, because if we're wrong, then we have become a false accuser. Amen. We better be careful about that, because if we're wrong, we have taken the side of the devil and we have accused the brethren. Amen. By the way, I'll just throw this out. This is right. We are at least guilty of having uncharitable thoughts, because the Bible says charity thinketh no evil. Amen. This elder brother thought he knew what his younger brother was doing, whether he really knew or not. I don't know. All right, here's my third point. I talked about an openly rebellious son, an obstinately religious sinner. Number three, I want to show you an obviously repentant sinner. This publican and sinner representative repents of his sin. By the way, that's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, your righteousness is going to have to exceed the righteousness of the scribes, of the Pharisees, the publicans and sinners, for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You know why? Because the publicans and sinners recognized their sinful condition. The publicans and sinners came to John and submitted to John's baptism. The Pharisees didn't. The publicans and sinners came to hear the Lord Jesus. The Pharisees didn't. They came to argue. They came to murmur. They came to complain. They came to catch him in his words. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But this younger son that represents the publicans and sinners, who was an openly rebellious sinner, now becomes an obviously repentant sinner. Look at verse 17 through 24. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive. Let me find alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Amen. Sin and rebellion brought this young man down to the dirt. He was living in filth and was loving the filth until he came to himself. Amen. Amen. Something happened that God gave him enough reason to be able to think rationally. Amen. God gave him enough mind to be able to see that where he was at was not where he wanted to be. Amen. That he didn't have to stay there. That didn't have to be the end of it all. Amen. That there was hope if he just turned back and repent of his sin. Amen. He came to himself. Can I tell you that what happened, that rational thinking that entered into his, those rational thoughts that entered into his head, was a gift from the hand of God. It was the grace of God. Now, everybody ought to know this, but you young people especially, listen. There are a lot of sinners out in this world that cannot think rational thoughts about their sin. They cannot do it. They can't. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face. You can show them Bible. You can show them reason. You can do anything. But they cannot think rationally about their sin unless God grants them repentance. Right. Right. Amen. Amen. Unless God grants them mind. Amen. God grants them reason to be able to think reasonable thoughts and think rationally. Amen. They cannot do it unless the grace of God grants them that ability. Amen. Now notice how we can tell this son's sin was repented of and that he had godly sorrow. Number one, his attitude reveals his sorrow. Amen. His attitude revealed his sin and his attitude reveals his sorrow. Look at verse 17 through 19. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Amen. This young man remembered the love of his father. Amen. He remembered the generosity of his father. Now he's looking past daddy's goods and he's noticing daddy is good. Amen. And I tell you, there'll come a day in the heart of a sinner with the goodness of God's what's supposed to lead him to repentance. It's not the goods. It's that God is good that ought to lead a sinner to repentance. Amen. That God is good. His goodness ought to lead a sinner to recognize their badness. When they see themselves compared to God, they see there's a vast difference between their life and His life. Amen. Their standard and His standard is vastly apart. And there's only one way they can get to God, and that is repent from their evil and run to His goodness. Amen. This young man saw past his goods of his father and saw his father as good. He never expected to be welcomed back into the family. He never asked to be welcomed back into the family. He just said, can I get as close to the father as the father will allow me to get? Amen. He decided, if I can just be as close to the father as he allowed me to be, I'll be blessed. If I can just get as close to the Father as the Father will allow me to be, I'll be satisfied. Amen. There was a longing in his heart to get closer to the Father. Amen. His attitude proved it. His attitude proved it. Amen. Those sinners that come into the house of God and they come up and all of a sudden they want to be placed in leadership position because they've got such a wild story to tell, because they can explain sin and they've got all this extravagant talk that they can talk, and they think that ought to cause them to get to be leaders in the church. And then they ought to be suspect, because the real sinner ought to be ashamed of his past. Say amen right there. Amen. He wouldn't want it brought up unless God moved to have it brought up. He wouldn't want to brag on his sin. Amen. But he ought to be to the place that he'll say, God, I'll do anything you'll let me do. If you'll let me clean toilets, I'll be satisfied to clean toilets as long as I can be in the house of God. If all I can do is be a doorkeeper, I'll be glad to be a doorkeeper if I can just be a doorkeeper at the house of God. Amen. Just at the Father's house. Ought to be happy to be allowed to enter in. Ought to be happy to be allowed to do anything that God would let us do. Amen. That's the attitude of repentance. Instead of the rebellious, stubborn attitude, instead of the religious, self-righteous attitude, we need to adopt a repentant, submissive attitude. He changed his speech from a give me speech to a make me speech. Amen. Amen. His attitude revealed his sorrow. Number two, his attractions revealed his sorrow. These same verses, I'm not going to read them again, for 17 through 19. I talked about that he he got to thinking about how good the Father is. All of a sudden, the far country lost its appeal because he got a remembrance of the Father. Amen. 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 He got to longing for the Father's house. He got to longing for the Father's presence. Amen. Can I tell you, sinners have got to get to the place that they want God more than they want their next breath. Amen. They got to want God more than they want anything. Amen. They got to fall in love with the Word of God and with God. And that only comes through faith and the preaching of the Word of God that produces faith in them to place a love in their heart for the things of God. Amen. I remember how it was when I got saved. Listen, there's a lot of things I did not know, but there ain't nothing that preacher could have told me to do I wouldn't have tried to do, because I fell in love with the house of God, the Word of God, and the man of God. Amen. That's the truth. I didn't know, and matter of fact, that for years I was learning. Amen. And I don't think I've arrived yet. I'm not to the point that I say, well, I'm the example, but I'll say this, that when you get saved by the grace of God, you ought to adopt a repentant and a submissive attitude that says, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I'll do for the glory of God. I just want to be close to the Father. I just want to be in the Father's house. You'll fall in love with the Father, and if you fall in love with the Father, you'll fall in love with the Father's house. This crowd that says, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church, has got a real problem. Amen. Our Lord's only got one bride, and that's the church. Amen. Amen. And if you don't like the church, you don't like Him. I believe that's right. I could show you a lot of things, but I don't have time. I done made a long sermon longer. Amen. Well, let me find my place here in my notes. All of a sudden, this far country lost its appeal. Amen. His attractions revealed His sorrow. Number three, this is my last one. His actions revealed His sorrow. Verse 20 through 21, and He arose and came to His Father. Amen. He arose and came to His Father, but when He was yet a great way off. Well, I'd love to preach on the prodigal's father sometime. When He was yet a great way off, His Father saw Him and had compassion and ran, fell on His neck and kissed Him. And the Son said to Him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in Thy sight I am no more worthy to be called Thy Son. The actions that reveal His sorrow, this young man not only said that he was going to get up and go back, he actually did it. Amen. I've said it before that far too many people are still sitting in their filth, intending to go back sometime, but they're still sitting in their filth. They know they need to go back. They say they're going to go back, but they haven't gotten up and gone back to the Father's house. I want you to notice this when this young man came to his father. He made up in his mind what he's going to say in verse number 18. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he's yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, what did he say? He said exactly what he said he was going to say.
Right.
Now notice, here's what a lot of people do. If a lot of people's in that case, they expect dad's going to be angry. But they meet dad and he's not angry. He's got compassion. All of a sudden, instead of fessing up to the whole thing, well, maybe I don't have to go the whole route. Maybe I don't have to admit that I'm as bad because God's so good and God's so loving. Maybe I don't have to come clean with it all. Can I tell you, you will not find salvation until you come clean with it all. Amen. You don't have to name every sin you've committed because you don't remember every sin you've committed. But you have to be ready to commit it all to Him. Cast it all aside. Turn loose of all of it. Quit hiding any of it and turn it over to Him. That's how salvation comes. Even when the Father ran to Him. Even when the Father fell on Him. Even when the Father called out in love. I don't imagine that Father ran down there without saying anything. I believe He is boo-hooing, sobbing, and saying, praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God, my boy's home. Amen. I believe He fell on Him saying, I love you, son, I love you. I believe He said, son, there's never a day I didn't love you. There's never a day I didn't pray for you. There's never a day I didn't ask God to bring you back. And while He was saying that, the Son said, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. He said, I'm not worthy. He said exactly what he said he'd say. Amen. His actions proved he was sorry for his sin. This repentant sinner proved he was truly had godly sorrow by confessing his wrong and not requiring forgiveness, but hoping and asking for help. Amen. This is the story that Christ gave, the tale of two sinners. I wonder today if there might be some sinners among us in the house of God tonight. The Lord might have spoke to your heart and you recognize there's sin there. Sin's been revealed in your heart. Maybe you're not in the far country yet, but that attraction's there. It's going to show out in your attitudes. It's going to show out in your actions. You may be religious or you may be rebellious, but there's sin in the camp. And if that's so, the only way to deal with it is repentance. That's the only way. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, while they come with a song. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for the story, the tale of these two sinners. I want to thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your mercy. That father ran down to the son as soon as he saw him. When that elder son came and wouldn't go in the house, the father went out to him. Lord, You're such a merciful God. You're such a good God. Oh, dear God, please help people not presume on Your mercy. Help people not to sin against Your grace. Lord, help people to repent of their evil. To recognize the cruelty sin has caused in their life. To recognize the rudeness, the uncharitable thoughts, the assumptions and presumptions that we've made. that are not proper and not right. Oh, dear God, forgive us and help us, dear God, come clean of all of it. Casting it at the feet of our Savior. Asking, Lord, for Your blood to wash it away. Every stain, Lord, please, every stain. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come.
162. While we sing, would you come?